Well, here we are. And this is session number 1 in volume 7. And the title of this lesson is Let's Begin. The scripture is one very familiar to people who are familiar with scripture at all. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. These were the words of Jesus as he was teaching his disciples to pray. And I always thought it was very interesting that the word debtors there used, because people can sometimes forgive anybody of anything unless they owe them money. So if you can forgive somebody who owes you money, normally you can forgive people just about anything, because that tends to be a thing that a lot of people focus on. But it's also been translated as trespasses. And if you can't forgive people who offend you, then that kind of puts you in the wrong stead with the Lord, since he's already forgiven a believer of so many things. But that's not really what we're thinking in terms of right now. We're thinking in terms of, I said, let's begin. You know, beginning is an interesting thing. Beginning is action, a behavior to accomplish or do a thing. Beginning always starts as an idea and ends in varying degrees of success. The idea may be from God, self, someone else, or Satan. Nevertheless, the idea springs forth and is either entertained and developed or rejected and tossed aside. Now, you've heard me talk before about when we start to do anything, we only start to do it because we believe it's going to be beneficial. Now, sometimes, however, what we think is going to be beneficial doesn't turn out as well as we would like for it to be. Like the man I've often spoken of in banking, who told me after 40-some years in banking, he had never written a bad note, a bad loan. And I was so impressed. And then he grinned and said they all went sour later. Isn't that the way plans work out? You start out with the best of intentions. Everything's going to be just work out perfectly. And then sometimes it just didn't quite turn out the way you had planned. But nevertheless, it started with an idea. Now, sometimes an idea and the doing of a thing may be very close, but it has to go through your mind for your body and everything to respond to bring it about into happening. Even if you think about it, when God started this creation, when he said, let there be light, and then he created all these other things over a period of 6 days, he looked at it and said, it's good at the start. And then something went wrong. But God came up with a plan to reverse the wrong that had been started. But when starting a matter, we often reflect on our past experiences for us, evaluate both the new idea and past experiences, and then reject or start the new endeavor. Sometimes, however, though, past experiences can have you so paralyzed that you're afraid to start anything new. You're afraid sometimes to step out and take chances. What happens is, what I call what-if-itis steps in. What if, what if, what if. Now, asking what if is not bad in and of itself, because you need to look at possibilities. You need to take a look at the landscape, what needs to be done. But if what if is always based in fear, you see, you can say what if, and say, well, okay, now if this happens, then I'll do B, and if that doesn't work, then I'll do C. That's not necessarily out of fear. But if what if is always followed in your mind by, oh, what if it doesn't work? Oh, what if things don't go right? Oh, what if I lose out? What if, you know, and then you sort of cascade into this what if, rather than coming up with contingency plans. It turns into just a tizzy of negativity and fear. Not a good thing. Because if you find yourself doing that, you find yourself never being all God has called you to be. Because we as believers have been enabled to do things. So our what ifs need to be contingency plans, not fearful cascading into just sitting in a corner shaking somewhere. Beginning well is very dependent upon if there is a well understood result or goal in mind. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying that if you're going to begin well, you have to know what the end is going to look like. Now, recently I taught about how when you plant a seed, it looks nothing like the end product. It looks nothing like the plant that's going to produce more seeds that look like that. But when you start out, you have to know what the seed is going to be and what the end result is going to be. And they may be very, very, very different. As I've said, if you're going to build a building and you take a couple shovels full of dirt out and you've got this little dent in the ground there, that doesn't look anything like what your end result is going to be. But it doesn't do any good to dig out those two little divots of dirt with the shovel unless you know what the end result is going to be or supposed to be, what you're working toward. And the scripture talks about, you know, count the cost and look into it and make plans. There's nothing wrong with that. Because we have to have some goals in mind. If you don't have a goal, you'll never know if you reached it. You'll spend your life in Gomer Pyle moments going, wow, golly, shazam, something worked out. You know, there are goals in the kingdom. And we're kingdom people. And we're people who want to bring in the kingdom because it's been assigned to us. That's a gift from God. An assignment from God is a gift from God. When Jesus was beginning what would become the church, he taught his disciples concerning prayer. Actually, how to communicate with the throne of heaven. You understand that's what that prayer is? That he was, you know, people call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. This is the disciples' prayer. He's teaching the disciples how to pray. It was for their benefit. He already knew it. The Lord's Prayer, he prays for his disciples, then he prays for prays for himself, prays for his disciples, and he prays for the people who believe as a result of what the disciples tell. That's the Lord's Prayer. The disciples' prayer is the one that's found in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. So when Jesus was beginning what would become the church, he taught his disciples concerning prayer. And he was actually teaching what? He was teaching how to communicate with the throne of heaven. He wasn't saying that he was the only one that would ever communicate with the throne of heaven, was he? He was saying, when you pray, pray this way. That's for us. When we pray. He taught them, thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I have a little misprint there in our bulletin. It should be in earth as it is in heaven. The word is in. And you'll understand why here in a minute. Now the earth is different than the world. Many people don't realize this. They say, well, we've seen maps of the world. Well, yeah, but they can also be a map of the earth. But the world is actually where people are. That's where the world system is. So, Earth is the planet, and the world is where mankind is on the planet for our exploration of the subject at hand. That's the definition we're using. Jesus was beginning the restoration of the planet to the kingdom. Remember when Adam lost it? He was deceived, and Satan got dominion over the earth. Jesus is setting in motion here the very existence that he showed up on Christmas Day, for example. The very fact that he showed up was a part of this plan that God had. Remember a few minutes ago I said God had a plan to restore what was good in the beginning. And now we're seeing the plan come into being. And Jesus is wanting his disciples to know how to access headquarters, how to access the throne of heaven, and how to bring the kingdom of heaven into the earth, back into where it was originally. So, Jesus and later the apostles were teaching believers how to operate or function in the kingdom. People do not understand how to function in the kingdom. I will tell you that if you look through Scripture, you're going to find so many references to the kingdom that it's amazing. And so Jesus was trying to teach the apostles so they could teach the believers how to function in the kingdom. The renewing of the mind brings about the kingdom goals and the operation in the believer of the kingdom powers. Those are the gifts that God gave in order to restore the kingdom, to work through the believer to restore the kingdom. Those are kingdom goals, to make it happen. So, once you have the goals, then there's a certain amount of work that has to be done to reach those goals. Unfortunately, many people in the world think that the works are those things which get you into the kingdom. No. The blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, gets you into the kingdom by simply accepting the fact that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. He was our Savior and our Lord, and is our Savior and our Lord. Now, the kingdom works are the things that we do within the kingdom, not to gain the kingdom, but to restore the kingdom in the earth, but not to put ourselves into the kingdom, because the kingdom of heaven, remember what Jesus said? The kingdom of heaven is in you. It is in you. God has always done kingdom works from before the creation, and certainly after creation, but mankind has needed to be renewed in the mind to grasp how the kingdom works, because we have become so deceived by the enemy. We've become so deceived by our own talking sometimes back and forth to each other. All the what ifs, all the fear things that come in. Oh, well, what if God really doesn't want us healed? What if God really doesn't want us to have the things we need? In spite of the fact that Jesus made it clear he did. Man, in mankind's own wisdom, keeps coming up with the possibility that God was really lying. You say, oh, no, I would never say that. Well, if you don't believe that God meant what he said, you might think God was not telling the truth, that he was just fibbing to you. And he wasn't. One of the great beginnings in the demonstration of how the kingdom works is God's provision. Now listen to me very closely here, because this is given to us so that we understand that God will work through us to bring about the kingdom in the earth. And one of the greatest things to bring this about and how God works is provision. When God provides for you, it is a verification that he will do all the other through and to you too, as well. It shows he's keeping his word. So God's provision in the believer's life, as the believer is given the daily bread. Do you understand that when you give thanks for your daily bread, you are giving thanks that you understand that God kept His Word. And He gives that to us so that we can see and continue to have the faith and trust. Remember the children of Israel in the wilderness. Every day they got their daily bread. We're not supposed to be focused on getting our daily bread. Oh, you say, well, wait a minute, but I got bills to pay and I got all of this. Absolutely. But God said that if you would take what you make and turn it into seed as much as possible, that He will supply your needs through His riches and glory. But most people are so busy providing for their needs rather than letting God provide for their needs, they miss the fact that they can use what they get as seeds, because the Scripture says that God gives seed to the sower. It's a part of the kingdom. Sowing and reaping is throughout the kingdom. What did God do? He sowed His own Son, Jesus, as a seed, and look how much has sprouted up from that one seed. Look how many people throughout the last 2,000 years and currently on the face of this earth are believers in Christ. What a mighty harvest that is in and of itself. But God's not willing that any should perish. He wants more. You see, not because He's greedy. He wants His creation back. He wants to help the needy. And we're all needy of what Christ can do in and through us. So then, the provision that we get from God that just feeds our mouths, puts us in a shelter, gives us clothing, meets our total basic needs, is God proving Himself to us so that He can bless us even more. It is a verification. The Scripture says, "Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread in the streets." If you are in Christ, you are the righteous. And what does this mean? It means that you will not have to beg for bread in the streets. So this gives you an idea of how the kingdom works, but God's verifying to you that the kingdom works by providing for you. Then it's a matter of the kingdom coming. The kingdom comes in the mind of many when the provision comes. But this is not the kingdom has come. The provision is simply a transference of the spiritual to the natural. Do you understand that? The kingdom is transferring. So when you actually have food to eat, God's promise in the spiritual has been created in the natural. You say, "No, well, now, wait a minute. I know lots of people that eat better than I do, and they don't believe in God, and they don't." That's the grace of God. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Unto whom much is given, much is expected. Do you understand that there are people who are supposed to be planting huge crops in the kingdom who are not even members of the kingdom because they are so prideful that they will not accept Christ? But they have the blessing that God wanted them to have. But they abuse the blessing, and they'll be accountable for that. But when you see the blessing, you're seeing the transference of what God promised from the spiritual into the natural. For who? For you. For your benefit. It is this transference which first demonstrates to the believer that God is faithful to His Word. When the believer experiences the delivery of the promise in whatever form, the believer is then encouraged to expect the delivery of other forms of spiritual power and gifts. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I'm saying that shows you that the gift of healing is there. That shows you that the gift of resurrection is there. That shows you that all the gifts that God promised are there. It's a matter of you operate in them. You say, "Well, I wouldn't have any income if I didn't go to work." Exactly. And you wouldn't have any healing if you didn't pray. If you pray for divine, the only way you're going to get divine healing is to pray for divine healing, is to enable God to work through you to bring it about. You see, so whatever form it takes, God does it through provision just to verify. And then we add to it, we build up those most holy gifts that are in us. They're gifts from God. the tasks that we have from God are gifts from God. This is when the believer can more clearly see God's kingdom goals and the believer's part or function in the kingdom. I cannot tell you how many people I meet who claim to be believers who think they have no worthwhile, significant part in the kingdom. They think that's all for somebody else. And that is so sad. And one of the reasons is because they've never been taught. They've never heard somebody say, you have a role. And then the next thing they say is, oh, but I couldn't. Well, they say the same thing that Moses said. They say the same thing that Gideon said. The same thing that Mary said. The same thing that so many who have been approached by God and told, this is what I want you to do, they haven't done it. Because they were, what if, oh, but, oh, my, not me, I'm nothing. Forgetting that if you're the believer, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But how is it carried out? It is carried out by the renewing of the mind so that you understand that God is faithful and will perform and finish what He said He would do. If He says He'll work through you, He will work through you. It's the accepting of that that frees it to happen. Then there's kingdom grace. Kingdom grace was taught by Jesus in the forgiveness of others. Since grace is foundational, hear me here, grace is foundational to and in the kingdom. When a believer shows grace to another, they are showing and demonstrating the kingdom as well as taking their own part in kingdom establishment. Kingdom can only be established and maintained through grace, through forgiveness. And that is done when the kingdom is in the establishing of the kingdom, it is done in the earth as it is in heaven. So that is the way that it works. So let's begin. Let's begin to expand the kingdom in earth following God's pattern of not being willing that any should perish, but come to everlasting life. And how do we do that? We do that by demonstrating God's grace, by laying hands on people and allowing God to work through us for the healing, because when people see it, they want what you got. When you have the testimonies like some of them we had about how money nobody was expecting showed up from here and there to do what seemed to be an impossible task, that just amazes people. It just absolutely amazes them. But we can only bring it in by beginning and then maintaining what we started in the kingdom as our part of what we're doing. Now, some of us have what many people would consider a smaller role than others, some a larger role than others, but in point of fact, God just looks at it as, were you faithful in what you did? That's the reason when He set up tithing, it's 10%. I deal with people in other nations where, you know, where maybe the U.S. dollar might be equal to 60 or 70 of their currency. And I say to them, they say, but it's not worth as much as the U.S. dollar. And I say to them, but understand, 10% is 10%. No matter what your currency is related to another currency. 10% is 10%. God knew what He was doing. Guess what? God's smarter than we are. God understands more than we understand. We've got to be the ones to really begin to sink in. If you haven't already, I'm saying, please, let's begin to expand the kingdom in the earth following God's pattern of not being willing any should perish. And do it not only through the speaking of the gospel, but in showing the gospel. The good news is when the Christian lays hands on somebody, they are healed. The good news is when the Christian prays for something, God responds to what he asked for. That's the important thing. And that's the thing then that causes them to tear your door off and say, I don't know what you got, but you need to explain this to me because I want it too. So let's begin. And if you've kind of sloughed off on doing it, then let's begin anew. But we've got to start it somewhere. We've got to continue it somewhere. You say, Lord, let me build the kingdom. Not my kingdom, your kingdom. Let me build your reputation, Lord. Not my reputation, but your reputation. And when people come to you and they say, well, you laid hands on somebody and they were healed, you're just really something. Say, I am, all I am is what God does through me. Always then point them back to God. Now, yes, don't get into this false humility stuff. Yes, you have been subject to God. You have followed what God wants. You have done as He has asked. Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. God bless you. But then also make sure that they know they can do it too, because the same God that works through you will work through them. Re-establish the kingdom everywhere you go. Let the kingdom follow you. Let people be so encouraged just by being around you and seeing the power of God move through you. Let's begin it now. Let's begin anew. Let's rededicate our efforts and say, Lord, we're here to do just as you said. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's the teaching for this session.